Thanks for joining us today on The Record. I'm Bill Radke. If you're walking around downtown Seattle today and you find yourself surrounded by Game of Thrones characters, do not panic. You have not been transported to Westeros. These are people probably headed for the Emerald City Comic Con. Yes, Comic Con this weekend. 4-day long, actually, comic and pop culture convention filled with panels and exhibits and celebrity signings and, of course, costumes. So joining us now are two people who know a lot about cosplay, costume play, as they say. Dyer Oxley, the co-host of the Northwest Nerd podcast, and Ty Ty, a Northwest cosplayer and creator of Lead by Example Apparel, a clothing company that promotes positivity within the nerd community. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Ty, I love what you're wearing today.
Thank you.
Will you please describe?
So today I am cosplaying Hannah from Rat Queens, which is an awesome comic book about these girls that go on dungeon quests. And it's kind of like comic D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, you know, and Hannah is an amazing character. She's part elf, so she's got the pointy ears.
I see that.
She's got a little bit of a Betty Page look to her.
Yes, the black bangs.
Yeah, the black straight bangs. And then she's got these like horn nubs that she covers with her hair, but kind of their cute little buns on her head. So kind of did a mashup of, Betty Page and her combined.
And why Hannah?
I just felt connected to the character. She's kind of this strong, tough elf woman, and I just related so much to the character. I think a lot of my cosplays are, you know, characters that I completely relate to. So,
when did you start making costumes?
I started making costumes at a really young age. I think I was probably about 4 or 5. My great-grandmother started making costumes and outfits for me, and I just kind of naturally loved it. And then as I got older, I started getting more into, like, fantasy novels and wanted to start creating those characters. So I had a lot of Hobbit outfits, a lot of, you know, Hogwarts students' outfits growing up. So
Your grandmother was making you...
My great-grandmother.
Your great-grandmother was making you what? School clothes?
She was making me all kinds of costumes. She specialized in embroidery, and she was an amazing seamstress. So I kind of just grew up around a lot of creative women, so I just naturally kind of went for it.
Since my listeners can't see you, give us an idea how complex these costumes get.
Well, today I'm a little more casual. I want to be a little comfy for the first day, but I mean, some of the costumes are so just over the top. I mean, the work people put into their costumes are just incredible. You can definitely see the people walking around at the conventions, just how much they love the characters they're cosplaying and how much love they've just put into their work.
I have seen that love.
I think a good example, though, was last year, Northwest Nerd had a cosplay contest over at the Ray Gun Lounge.
This is your podcast.
This is our podcast. Yeah, we're doing it again this year. And we brought Ty Ty back as a judge this year because she won that contest for a cosplay costume you had was Barbarana from Kung Fury.
Yeah.
And that was intricate. So I don't know, like, I've always been curious because I never actually picked the judges' brains of why they chose you, but it was clearly far more involved than a lot of the other costumes we saw that night. I mean, there was bones hanging, there was fur. How exactly did you put that together?
I wanted to finish that for like 2 cons before Emerald City last year, but it was way more work than I thought it was going to be. And so it took me a good 6 months just kind of picking at it when I could here and there when I had time.
On one costume.
On one costume. There were so many little details of beading and, you know, like you said, bones, fur, armor, spikes, molding all the Warbla to turn into armor.
You did use Warbla for that.
I did use Warbla. So it was kind of nice because how much Warbla I put into it. When I won the contest, I got a roll of Warbla. So I was like, boom, I just won it back.
What's Warbla?
Warbla is, and that's also a first place prize for this year's contest as well. Thank you, Tap Plastics. It is a giant brown sheet that looks just unassuming and ugly, and you heat it up and form it into whatever you want. So if you want to make a suit of armor that's not actually armor, it's really easy to heat that up and make it look like something else. And you can paint it. And so in your case, you made armor out of it, and then, you know, I'm assuming you heated it up and then painted it and made it look like
what needed.
Yeah,
you got to figure out what pattern you want for the armor, and then you got to... you know, mold it. The biggest thing with Warbla is to not burn yourself. You have to heat it up with the heat gun. So you got to make sure you're moving it quick, but you know, not burning your fingers. That's probably the biggest thing. If you went to a convention, ask each cosplayer, are your fingers burnt? I'm sure like 9 out of 10 of those cosplayers are like, yes.
Dyer, you're not dressed up in costume. You told me you were terrified of it.
It is a little bit intimidating. I know people that are very, very involved in this. And especially if you follow any cosplayer on Instagram or social media, you see the horror stories of Con Crunch, is what they call it. It's the days before convention, and they are trying to get these costumes in. And you're seeing, like, burn marks. You're seeing stabbings from needles. Oh. So there's that terrifying, factor for a hypochondriac like myself.
Okay.
It's almost like if you're really into music, right? Like, you love Pearl Jam, but you don't play guitar, right? Or you love the Seahawks, but you're not playing football. Cosplay is almost like this this just web of fandom that kind of connects all fans between conventions and events. You know cosplayers between all of them, and so there's this admiration that mm-hmm. goes between it. And some of them are more involved. Some of them would be my level that throws on a Superman shirt underneath my real shirt, and then I just kind of walk around with that. But I've never been as intense as a lot of these people get, which intensity can go up to Hollywood level of cosplay. There's some people that you would think that was off of a set, but they made it in their garage.
Ty, do you think that Dyer should give cosplay a try?
I think everybody needs to give cosplay a try.
Well, make the pitch to
you
him.
You need to do it right now.
Okay.
No, cosplay is just amazing. I mean, it's such a, you know, positive community. And it's open for anyone. That's what's amazing about cosplay, is that anyone can do it. You can be 3 years old. You can be 90 years old. Like, my favorite is when I see families, you know, encouraging their kids to just cosplay. If it's store-bought, if they made it over the weekend, like, I encourage everyone to do it. It's just a good way to...
But people don't get judgy if you do a simple costume instead of an elaborate homemade one?
I mean, people can be snobby about that stuff, but I think the whole point of the community is to let... most of us are full-grown adults dressing up in costumes.
Yeah.
Like, we need to support
each
other.
The bar is set, you know.
The bar is set.
Yeah.
So it's,
Dyer,
you know.
if you weren't terrified, Dyer, what would you want to dress up as? You've thought about it.
Off the top of my head, it would probably be something really ridiculous, like Real American Hero or something like that from back in the day. And I would probably carry around that really annoying soundtrack from just so that you would know, but it would be something like that nobody would know unless you were maybe 50 years old or something.
But I hear Ty saying you'd be loved and welcomed in.
Well, you would, and I mean, you say, like, you know, nobody looks at you snotty and so forth. Like, you do see that every now and then. I don't want to say they're shot down, but that's kind of frowned upon. Like, like people being just kind of like, why bring that negativity into this space? Especially when these things happen at conventions, there's this vibe of this is your people, you know. Like I didn't really express my nerd for a while. You know, I didn't really talk about, you know, Picard's my captain over Kirk and get into those arguments. But when I just happened to go to my first Emerald City Comic Con a few years ago because Patrick Stewart was going to be there, it's almost like you just walked in. It's like one of those, like, spiritual religious moments where you're just like, oh, this is where my people have been hanging out this whole time.
Why didn't you express your nerd?
I used to be really cool. You can't tell right now. This is a long black hair, leather jackets, played in bands. And that's, you know, that environment wasn't really conducive to talking about what happened at Wolf. You know, I'm going to totally mess it up and Trek nerds are going to be really mad at me. But, you know. You don't really talk about that kind of stuff. I tried talking about it with bandmates and so forth, and they wouldn't really be as into it. You walk into a place like this, and you get into conversations about this comic book over this comic. You go to the Image comic book table and see what's new out there, and maybe get into new stuff that you haven't been in before. And you don't really have those conversations unless you have a really good comic book shop in your neighborhood. Now I live in Seattle, so I do. So, but like, you don't really have that before, and it was just nice to come to that hub.
Ty, did you ever hide your nerdiness?
Yeah, when I was, I think, in middle school, I went from going to Catholic school to a really bad public school, and I was teased like crazy.
Why?
The culture there, they just did not, they weren't okay with it. I felt in a way that I was like, oh, maybe those are baby things, you know, like I was in that weird age of like, oh, is this maybe just for young kids, you know?
Like what?
I was really into, you know, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, you know, Star Wars. I mean, the, you know, kind of the basics when it comes to nerddom. And, you know, I was severely teased to the point where I was starting to get rid of my stuff or hide my stuff. And it wasn't until, you know, I went to high school where I was kind of met, you know, other nerds that were just chill. And then I was like, okay, now I regret the last 2 years of my life just like hiding it and being ashamed of who I am. And after that, I was like, I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want other kids to feel ashamed. And I've kind of always made an effort to like never hide my geekness and, you know, be an influence to other kids to, love their fandoms and never feel ashamed of what they love and who they are.
But will you help me understand that? I've always wondered, I mean, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, you know, I wasn't deep into Star Trek, but now I'm old, but for me it was Kirk and, you know, yeah. Shatner, all that, and but I liked it. Like, who didn't like it? Why is there this judginess around Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Star Trek
people
fans?
People can just be jerks. People, yeah.
It's popular stuff.
Why do we make fun of Nickelback?
Well, but
that's a bad example.
Yeah, see,
why do
we know why?
Why do we like this gets into this classic. Why does everybody like to make fun of hipsters these days? Even though, like, when I look at a hipster, I just look at, okay, so that guy likes typewriters. So what? You know, like, if you have some kind of a passion or a hobby, I don't know. It's just kind of ingrained that's an anomaly somehow. I look at that and find it fascinating. But I think there is some people that just. Maybe we're hardwired through, you know, all this evolution to find, like, oh, the one anomaly out there, and that's weird. You know,
right.
That's other. And you
we
know,
are pack animals,
we
right?
Pack
so maybe
animals.
We're closing the herd. Like, we mistrust mm-hmm. if you're. But these are very popular things. It's not like you're outsiders to love.
Well, you can say that now because back in the day, nerd culture, geek culture, we call it that now. We didn't call it that. We just called it people that were in the basement. Mm. So today, it's almost, and I've heard this many, many times, nerd culture, geek culture has become our pop culture.
It is the pop culture.
It is the pop culture.
And I never thought I would see it. You know, growing up, my dad was a hardcore nerd, and, you know, I was a hardcore nerd. And just to know that there's like a new generation of like, they don't have to feel ashamed. They can be completely loved and embraced in this community and accepted for who they are. So think of anything, it's just awesome. You know, it's like,
well, then let me
get
ask
out of
you...
your basements, nerds. Like, be proud of who you are.
Let me ask you about that popularity, though. For example, Emerald City Comic Con has been going on more than 10 years now. Last year, 90,000 people plus attended. Mm-hmm. Does any part of you worry or regret that it has gotten mainstream? Like, it's not as special. Be honest.
Yes and no. But it is kind of inevitable. And that's the thing is, this touches upon a story I recently did, actually. It's called the Geekonomy, is the term I call it. If Emerald City Comic Con is too huge for you, there is 20 other conventions throughout your community, probably, of people just like you that can get together. We've got Renton City Comic Con. Victoria's got Capital City Comic Con. They're starting up for the very first time. They're all over the place.
They think of Emerald City as overexposed? Like, those are the popular kids?
No, it's just Emerald City is like the tent pole. You know, it's holding up a lot. That's like, it's the biggest, most, you know, brightest, shining one. And Emerald City isn't the largest geek fest that we have in your PAX. Out of the Washington State Convention Center, the three largest events you have there every year is PAX, which is a video game convention. The Flower and Garden Show, which is, you know, special brand of nerd. And then you have Emerald City Comic Con, which has 91,000, I think, was the last attendance number we had for last year. That is quite a large grouping of nerds in one place. Part of this, we say that, oh, we worry that it gets too big. The thing is, it's already been big here. There's something about the Northwest that has just always been home to the indoor kid.
Mm-hmm.
And all these indoor kids are now finding ways to get together. You know, we have the comic book shops when a lot of other areas in this country, they've gone downhill. you know, bookstores in general have it's been suffering. We've got a ton in Seattle right now. We even got a nonprofit comic book shop. There's just a lot here for this. And so one time a year, I don't think that's overexposure. I just think that's like the one time everybody can kind of get together.
What costumes do you expect to see a lot at Comic-Con this year? Are you going to walk around and see Hannahs who look just like you?
Possibly. I've seen a few. Hannah is still one where I think people know the comics, but not that many people cosplay her. I'm really hoping to see a lot of Black Panther cosplays.
I think that's inevitable.
I'm hoping, because the details in those costumes, and people whip them up quick. Like, once the images from the movie started being released, people were making those costumes so quick. So I'm really excited. I always love when movies come out right around when conventions are.
Yeah.
Because, you know you're going to see 100, if not a couple hundred, of that character.
Is it seen as a little obvious, though? Like, of course, Black Panther.
No, I just think it's riding the fervor. You know,
yeah.
That wave has come. Last year, Deadpool came out, and so many Deadpools were running around.
Many Deadpools.
We had a little bit of Old Man Logan, I think, last year, which I'm hoping to see more of this year.
Yeah.
Every now and then, you catch. I'll tell you what I am interested in, and because I've heard little murmurings around here. Talk about Star Trek. Star Trek just changed the Klingons. It's a very controversial move.
Oh.
And
how did they change the Klingons?
I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole and just have people changing the channel on you, but they look a lot different. They look, I don't recognize them, and I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I mean, it's just hard to describe. Their voices sound different. Instead of just little ridges on their head, it's almost like a whole helmet they had to put on these actors as prosthetics.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I knew you were an alien if you had a wrinkly forehead.
Exactly, right? Yeah. That was the telltale sign. That and the spaceship.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if anybody's going to go in that, and that you're already going as a very hyped up, contentious species trying to, you know, what are the other Klingons going to think of you when you kind of walk into this convention?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I hope it's not going to get violent.
That's what I'm saying is they already have batlets. They already have, you know, these swords. So who knows what can happen at Comic-Con.
Dyer Oxley, co-host of the Northwest Nerd Podcast. Ty Ty, a Northwest cosplayer and creator of Lead by Example Apparel, a clothing company that promotes positivity within the nerd community. And there's a lot of positivity. Yeah, there's the stitches and the burn hands, but mostly the love in the nerd community. The Emerald City Comic Con runs today through Sunday. If you can't make it to Comic Con, there are a lot of Comic Con adjacent events, as we discussed, including the Northwest Nerd Cosplay Contest and After Party, which will be held tomorrow at 8 p.m. at the Raygun Lounge in Seattle.
Yes.
Ty and Dyer, great meeting you. Have fun. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.